The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Conor Faulkner, who is a transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
We don't want to talk Liberation Day to you, but we want to talk about e-scooter safety, because there is now definitive information from a number of quarters as to whether or not they are more unsafe than pedal power, in other words.
And they might be. Now, they're a new technology everywhere. I don't know how long you want to date them back, but certainly you're talking within the last 10 years, realistically within the last five. These technologies have just sprung up everywhere. Even prior to that, there were sort of free scooter schemes or rental scooter schemes in cities like Paris and various other places. So we're all kind of familiar with them. E-bikes and e-scooters based on the lithium battery. Now, I speak as a fan of the technology. I think it's fantastic. I think it's the future, great potential. And essentially, they need to live and function as bikes do, on bike lanes, in bicycle facilities, doing everything that a bicycle does and doing nothing more. So you need to make rules for that. They can't be too powerful under European type approval. And then when they are on the bike lanes doing these things, are they actually as safe as bikes? Are they more dangerous? We're waiting really for the data to mature, but there's some good Dutch data that was released recently.
The Dutch are a nation of cyclists, and as we know from the geography of that country, it's flat.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's ideal for cycling.
And always has been. And they have a huge cycling tradition. And they actually have data collection on cycling that's much better than everybody else's and goes back much further. So they were able to do a good analysis of their own data and just look and see, allowing for the various populations, which mode of bicycle, if you like, is more dangerous. And it turns out that e-bikes are, it appears from the Dutch experience, significantly more dangerous than ordinary bikes. And that's looking at the casualties that occur. So why would that be? And I guess we could jump to conclusions or we could speculate, but probably we're going to have to wait for more data. Mm. But the range of people who can use an e-bike is much greater. If you want to be on an ordinary bicycle doing 10 kilometres into work, you're going to have to be reasonably physically fit to even contemplate that. If you don't have to be, because your battery is doing it for you, well, then maybe you're not going to be quite as alert. Maybe your balance or coordination isn't going to be quite what an ordinary cyclist is. And maybe then in a population, you'll fall off more often rather than us saying, you know, it's the batteries that are causing the problem.
Now, the analysis suggests that speed is a prominent factor in the increase in fatalities, and not alone fatalities. Let's talk about non-fatal injuries, which can result in brain damage, broken limbs and so on.
So
these non-fatal injuries are not trivial.
No, and actually they're not properly counted in many jurisdictions, including in Ireland. The tremendous volume, when a person falls off the bike, even if they've hurt themselves, it's a collarbone and the bike is damaged, very often that's unreported, just doesn't show up in the data. So cyclist injuries are underreported, and I guess e-bike injuries probably underreported in the same way. So you kind of want to watch this and see what the trends are as they emerge, Pat. But I don't think you can look at something like this and say, oh my goodness, we've got to put the genie back in the bottle.
We don't want bikes. It's going to be impossible to put that genie back in the bottle.
Some
of the things they suggest: e-bikes reach higher speeds, and we'll talk about the governor on every e-scooter that's supposed to be sold in this jurisdiction and how people in other jurisdictions have got around that governor. But speed being one thing, if you're moving faster and you have a prang, you're going to be hurt more.
Absolutely. And if you can always do 25 km/h without any noticeable effort from yourself, then you know that could happen to you going uphill as well as coming downhill. So there's a few more dangers there. And there are rules about the speed governors, Pat. And under European type approval, if you're on an e-bike where you can pedal it, the governor has to stop, or the limiter has to kick in at 25 km/h. Now, you could still cycle the bike faster than that if you're athletic enough, if you're coming downhill. But the power assistance must stop at 25 km/h, and it's 20 for e-scooters. So they should never really be travelling faster than that. But that's plenty fast enough. That's enough.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the people who completely disregard the rules. I mean, you and I probably have both been in cars and been undertaken on the inside when we're doing maybe 35-40 km, been undertaken by an e-bike or by an e-scooter.
Yeah, or by a cyclist.
You know,
actually, I remember the city used to do nothing but complain about bicycle couriers, and it was all the same complaints, all the same things. And those same behaviours are still a problem. They're not, to my mind, worse for e-bikes, just the presence of e-bikes.
Now, there's e-bikes and e-bikes, and this is something we want to talk about. Mm. There are the e-bikes that look like an ordinary bike, and you can see the battery pack either on the back carrier or around the crossbar area. But to all intents and purposes, they look like an ordinary bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are e-bikes with the big fat tires and the very heavy frames. And if you watch carefully, they do not require to be pedalled at all to get going. So they are effectively mopeds.
They are effectively mopeds. And we, but nevertheless, we want to treat them like bicycles once they're governed to bicycle speeds. And we're going to have bigger conversations about
all
of them.
But why? I mean, a little moped, I remember the first moped I ever tried was an NSU quickly. Yeah. I don't know whether our older listeners would remember such a thing. It had its motor that actually rubbed against the front tyre. And that's how it propelled itself. So it was a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
But that required a motorbike license and insurance.
Yeah. And the thing about these new e-technologies is that if we take the step and we say we want to treat them like motorbikes, they need motorbike insurance, okay, that really reduces the number of users. So we want that to kick in at a sensible level. Nobody's suggesting that the little Pottermobile doing 15 kph in the bike lane, maybe with a trailer behind it and two toddlers in the trailer. Okay, we don't want to treat that as a motorbike in all common sense. A motorbike is a different thing. Now, when you're electric
those
motorbike...
Those bikes you're talking about are called cargo bikes.
Yeah.
And often you'll have two or three children, very small children, in the cargo, whether it's normally to the front.
Normally to the front.
So that the parent can keep an eye on what's going on in the cargo rather than lose one of the toddlers by accident off the back. And they're very useful. You see people doing the school run with those kind of bicycles. They used to be electrified. They are now.
Yeah. Which again makes them much more accessible for a lot more people. And a lot of these sort of really light two-wheel vehicles, we want to populate the streets. I mean, that's a really good thing for transport reasons, all good stuff. But you do need a rule about when this gets too powerful and must now be classed as a motorbike. At the moment, there's a power output, it's 250 watts, and it's governed to 25 kph. But to your point, Pat, the regulations are currently silent about the weight of these things. So if
that's another factor, by the way, in the accidents, the fatalities and non-fatal injuries.
Yeah, a bit more kinetic energy involved when it's coming down a hill. But if you've got like a cargo bike, or maybe you're a Deliveroo person or a courier and you're spending all day on this thing, and it has like quite chunky looking wheels on it, you don't have to do anything other than press the button and you can zip along at 20 or 25 kph. There's a greater duty of care on you than the simple cyclist.
There's a reluctance also on the part of many people to wear helmets, even though it might be wise.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it should be definitively ordained that you have to wear a helmet in all circumstances. But when I was in Brisbane recently, I saw the rental bikes, and I've showed you a picture of it, with the helmet attached. So when you rent the scooter, rather it was a scooter, you get the helmet with it. But then people are reluctant for hygiene reasons to share helmets.
Yeah, and some of these can be cultural things. So there's some cultures that are really, really good at helmet wearing, and there's some that are just dreadful. I mean, while you were on the far side of the world, Pat, I was actually in Naples on a break, and it was just amusing in a sense, but the chaos of the streets and the Vespa scooters nipping around all over the place and no helmet in sight. And yet, for all its chaos and tumble, it actually functions remarkably well. And I guess where we want to get to as a city and various Irish towns and cities is if these vehicles are a big part of the solution, it's almost like tripling or quadrupling the number of cyclists. And that means everybody wins. The car users, the efficiency of the system, the safety of the system, everybody wins.
Now, when I was driving into one of the the Australian towns, there was a sign, one of those, you know, the roadside signs that tell you about traffic ahead or fog or dangerous conditions. And it said, the police are out inspecting e-bikes today.
Yeah, they have a reputation in Australia for very, very vigorous, proactive road policing. And there are Australians who give out about it, for example. But I think by comparison, our Gardaí are relatively relaxed. Think about the French gendarmerie, if you like, they're merciless traffic cops. And that can be a good thing. I mean, it's been a 30-year journey in road safety, but Australia back in the 80s and early 90s was a real road safety black spot. They were a disaster, worse than Ireland. And in the 90s, before us, they really pivoted the other way around. They became fanatical, got some of the best road safety records in the entire world. We copied them on a lot of things, and they do have a good road safety culture, and they've been involved in this e-bike conversation for as long as us as well, and with similar kind of debates and similar outcomes. Yeah.
Now, the question of getting around the regulations here, I mean, we're told they shouldn't be on footpaths. They frequently are.
Yes.
We know that.
Yeah, so are bicycles, but same problem, really.
Same problem. Now, the question of governing the speed, it's governed at, what is it, 20k here? which is at odds with the European 25K, which means obviously bike scooters and that have to be adjusted accordingly. But in Australia, there's one company that's telling people how to get over the governor, which is legally deployed on all of these pieces of equipment. And then they have a disclaimer. Should you do this, restore the governor before you go on the public road.
Yeah.
In other words, they're chancers.
They are chancers. It's a loophole in Australian road safety law. And I'm sure they'll patch it because it seems absolutely socially irresponsible. But the loophole is that you can use these things off-road. Now, in Australia, but I guess here too, there are contexts like farms, for example, where that might be absolutely appropriate. And on your own land, you don't have to have the governor. Sure. So they're saying you can turn it off. But of course, if you can turn it off that easily, then they're clearly going to be on the public road ungoverned. So it's an irresponsible thing to do on the part of the manufacturer to say this to the customer, we can take that code off for you, and it's irresponsible of the customer to do so. But it's also happening because there's a hole in their law, so they will need to patch that hole.
Now, the question of who's checking up on the e-bike users, the scooter users, those particularly the e-bikes that do not require pedal power, they do not. I've seen them take off.
They don't need it anyway. It's only to comply with a legal technicality. There's no reason why they should need to be pedal assisted. It's perfectly possible to have what is to all intents and purposes an e-bike that just functions on a throttle. Why not?
But then it's a moped.
Well, again, if it's light...
No, it is. I mean, if it is a motor-propelled vehicle without pedal power, it's a moped.
Yeah, but we have to write those definitions, Pat, with a desire to a good social outcome. We want these things on bike lanes. If it's a small, modest, bike-sized, bike-behaving thing, we want to allow it. It's only when it gets too big and powerful that we want to change the categorisation. But I see no problem with, even an elderly person getting onto a light machine like that that looks like a bike and not having to pedal, just use a throttle.
The evidence seems to be that older people are more prone to have accidents on their e-bikes.
Yeah, indeed.
Whether this is their balance or whether it is the fact that they haven't been on a bike for 30 years
and
suddenly an e-bike makes that available to them.
Yeah, or even an e-trike. And there's good and bad in this. We know from road safety data that elderly people are more likely to get injured in a collision of given severity. So an older person falls off a bike, clearly they're more likely to be hurt than a young person. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't facilitate their mobility. And if you look on the upside, I mean, they can be a terrific technology.
When used in a responsible way, no one doubts the fact now that you can't bring your e-scooter on the train or whatever for fear of fire,
which
limits some of the things that you
can
do.
Silly rule needs to be changed.
But the idea that you hop off your commuter train onto your e-scooter, get yourself to work in jig time, that makes a lot of sense.
Without clogging the road or using the bus.
But our listeners are saying, I drive around the city, constantly see e-bikes and e-scooters travelling above 25 kilometres per hour and always going against the traffic, up on footpaths, no regard for anyone, they don't care. Why no insurance on scooters? Only saw an accident aftermath the other day. They can go into cars and do a lot of damage. The same if they hit somebody, injure someone walking who could be out of work for ages and no insurance to pay for their discomfort. Why do they not have insurance? Last week in Athy, two e-scooters with kids around 14 flying down the footpath towards me, no helmets on. I had to move out of the way as they sped past and across the street, two Gardaí walking into a coffee shop. Oblivious.
Well, there you
go. And what could they do anyway?
What could they do?
If they're on foot, they cannot pursue these kids.
Yeah, well, to the last point, I mean, there were half a dozen laws being broken there in the presence of Gardaí. So whatever else the fix is, it's not new laws. As a degree of enforcement and social responsibility. All the other complaints are familiar to me, and I wouldn't be disrespectful of them, except to make the observation that I've heard all of those complaints before, word for word, about bicycles before e-bikes even existed. So it's the same set of problems.
But the observation I would have watching the kids, whether it's in the city centre or out where I live, kids who'd never get up on a push bike are whizzing around on an e-scooter. Why is that?
Well,
because it's thrills and spills that, you know, and they don't have to exercise at all.
Well, there you go. Well, you see, if you could wind the clock back 20 years and replay this exact same conversation and substitute the word BMX for the word e-bike, we'd be hearing all the same comments and all that. And to a sense, there's always a degree of scepticism to a new technology. But I tell you, if you compare it to mobile phones, like mobile phones, good and bad, real lifesavers and all that, but we immediately had a problem with the behaviour of drivers using mobile phones. It became a brand new road safety thing and a bloody serious one. Our solution to that isn't to ban mobile phones. We know we can't. We know the good side outweighs the bad in many respects. We know the technology's here to stay. So likewise with these e-bikes, we need a sensible set of rules. Once they look like, feel like, behave like ordinary bicycles, we want to encourage them where ordinary bicycles go. Once they're too big, too powerful, we want to treat them differently and make sure everybody involved is safe. And then you're talking about registration, insurance, all of those things. And in all cases, we want to stop them being abused by people who couldn't give a toss what the law is. They're just going to do what they like.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.